Inshallah, brief lesson of hadith will take place. Brothers participate, inshallah, beneficial. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي ونسلم على رسوله الكريم أما بعد الحمد لله last week we started this chapter باب الحلم والأنات والرفق the chapter on حلم and أنات and رفق and I explained all three of these qualities حلم means to be patient to be forbearing to be calm and calculated. Lots of English words, synonyms, and words can be used to describe the word hilm in Arabic. It's a very difficult word to translate with just one word. Patient, forbearing. Forbearing, meaning you're calm and considerate, and far-sighted, you can put in there as well, far-sighted. That person doesn't just make a decision based on right now, they take into consideration the consequences of it, the what will happen later on. Patience is a very important quality in hilm. Wisdom, that's why the hadith I mentioned last time that the Prophet ﷺ mentioned, because it doesn't come in this chapter, Imam Nawawi rahimahullah doesn't bring it here, the hadith of Tirmidhi. لا حليم إلا ذو عفرة ولا حكيم إلا ذو تجربة. The Prophet ﷺ says, you can't be a halim, someone with hilm, this quality, unless you've made a lot of mistakes in your life. Because you make mistakes, you fall, and then you get up and you know what it feels like to make that mistake. So you can help other people not make that mistake. And if somebody makes that mistake, you're much more tolerant, patient, forgiving, overlooking. As opposed to saying, why would you do something like that? And because you've never done that yourself, so you don't know what it feels like to be in the receiving end of the, of someone's harshness and someone's strictness. And anat, to be calculated, calm. Slow, considerate, not to be hasty, and rifq, softness. So all these three qualities, because they kind of overlap, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Imam Nawawi rahimahullah, has brought this hadith, brought this chapter where he mentions the virtues of all three. وعن ابن عباس رضي الله تعالى عنهما قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لأشج عبد القيس إن فيك خصلتين يحبهما الله الحلم والأناة رواه مسلم. This hadith narrated by Imam Muslim, rahmatullahi alayhi. Hadith ki rawi Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhumah hai, farmate hai ki Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi sallam ne Sayyidina Ashaj Abdul Qais, ek sahabi ko irshad farmaya, ke bila shubha tumhare andar do aise khaslatein hain, do aise sifat hain, jinko Allah ta'ala bohot pasand farmate hain. Ek hai hilm, burdubari. Hilm ko urdu mein kehte burdubari. لیکن اس میں بہت سی جو ہے صفات آ جاتی ہے صبر تحمل برداشت اور جو ہے ایک چیز میں دور بینی دور اندیشی ہاں جزاک اللہ ساجد بھائی دور اندیشی کہ فیصلہ کرے انسان تو ہر لحاظ سے سوچ سمجھ کر فیصلہ کرتا ہے تو نبی صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم نے صحابی سے کیا فرمایا کہ تمہارے اندر دو ایسے صفات ہیں جو اللہ تعالیٰ بہت پسند فرماتے ہیں ایک یہ حلم اور دوباری اور دوسری انات کہ تم بہت کام ہو بہت جو ہے کیا کہتے اردو میں اس کو مطلب آپ جلد باز نہیں ہو جلد باز کا وہ کیا ہے سوچ سمجھ کر آپ کام کرتے ہو تو یہ دو صفات ہیں جو اللہ تعالیٰ بہت پسند فرماتے ہیں تحمل نہیں ہوگا ایک اور ہوگا مطلب جلد بازی کا جو دوسرا رخ جلد باز means to be hasty was the opposite of that in اردو انشاءاللہ whatever it is Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhuma narrates that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said to Ashaj Abdul Qais. Ashaj Abdul Qais. I'll give the backdrop. There was a tribe called the Abdul Qais tribe, but they were a tribe which made up of lots of different clans. It's like Quraysh. Quraysh was a huge tribe, qabila. But inside of Quraysh, you had the Banu Abdi Manaf, Banu Abdul Muttalib, Banu Hashim, Banu this, Banu that. So you had all these different clans, different families that made up the Quraysh. So Abdul Qais was a huge tribe that was made up of small clans. The Prophet, so what happened was, one of the clan members of Abdul Qais, he was a merchant, a businessman. So he would come to Medina Munawwara and he would sell his wares. So after Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam migrated to Medina Munawwara, he came. His name was Munqidh ibn Habban radiyallahu anhu. So he came and he just set up his stall and he started to sell his items in the marketplace. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam walked past and he says, "Ayyu Munqidh ibn Habban?" The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam knew him by name. So he said, "Yes. Who are you?" And he said, "My name is Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam." And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam invited him towards Islam. And he found the message very appealing and he accepted Islam. Munqidh ibn Habban radiyallahu anhu. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught him Surah Al-Fatiha. He taught him Surah Alaq, Iqra' bismi rabbika alladhi khalaq. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught him how to perform salah. And then he said, and then he gave him a letter. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "You're from Abdul Qais, go and give this letter to your people," in which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was calling them towards Islam. So Munqidh ibn Habban radiyallahu anhu, very happily, he took the letter, he went back, and then thought to himself, "My people aren't ready for this." So he kept the letter hidden. He didn't reveal it to anyone. Now Munqidh ibn Habban radiyallahu ta'ala anhu was married to the daughter of a person called Munzir. And Munzir is the one that is called Ashaj Abdul Qais. I'll explain it. So his daughter, Munzir, was a chief, but he was the youngest chief. So imagine the Abdul Qais tribe, there's so many clans, so many chiefs of each clan. From all the chiefs, he was the youngest, Munzir, right? But he was this one that the Prophet ﷺ said he had this quality of hilm. Very, very, you know, wise man, very calm man, very patient man. Naturally, he already was like this. So his daughter was noticing something funny with her husband. Said, "What's wrong? My husband, since he's come back from Medina, he's been very different. He behaves differently." And then she started noticing him discreetly, quietly, you know, secretively when no one's watching, performing salah. So what's he doing, my husband? So the first thing she did was she went to her father, Sayyidina Munzir, and said, "Look, this is what's happening with my husband." So because he was a very calm and calculated man, he was a very wise man, he first went to Sayyidina Munqidh. He said, "Look, my daughter's come to me and she's saying you're doing this and that and something's different about you since you've returned from Medina Munawwara." Sayyidina Munqidh said, "Look, I went to Medina and I met this person, his name was Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he claims to be Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's messenger and final messenger, and he's brought the final deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he sent me with a letter, but I've kept it hidden because I felt my people were not ready for it." Munzir said, "Please show me the letter." So he showed him the letter. Sayyidina Munzir said, "I believe in this. All of this makes sense to me." He said, "But let's not proliferate it too much. Let's not tell everybody yet, because people are not on the same page. Let's just tell a few people." So they told a few close friends, and then 14 people got ready. They all embraced Islam, and they said, "We need to go and take bay'ah, pledge allegiance to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam." So they came to Medina Munawwara. So this was called the Wafdu Abdul Qais, the delegation of Abdul Qais that came. So the delegation of Abdul Qais came. Now Munqidh, the one who's already a Muslim, he's excited to meet the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It's been a long time. And all the people that have come with him are all excited. So they come, they jump off their camels and they run to Masjid al-Nabawi. And they leave all their camels behind, untied. Sayyidina Munzir, he's not a Muslim yet, he's also equally excited. He ties everybody's camels. He's the chief. He ties everybody's camels. He goes, he bathes, he washes, he changes his clothes, because they've been traveling. So their clothes are dirty, they're probably smelling. He thinks to himself, "If this person is Allah's Nabi, I can't go in front of him in this state." He changes his clothes, he takes his time, and then he calmly, collectively comes into the gathering of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and then he sits down. So Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam notices, first thing. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, of course, he had so much, you know, a basira and farsightedness. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam noticed this, didn't say anything. And then as they were talking, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that, you know, "Who will you take, accept this message of Islam on behalf of yourself and on behalf of your qawm, your people as well?" All the people said, yeah, we'll accept Islam on behalf of us and on behalf of our people as well. Sayyidina Munzir says, "Ya Rasulullah, Islam is a new deen, a way of life. My people are used to something totally different. We accept Islam on behalf of ourselves, we will go back and call our people towards Islam. Whoever accepts, then they will accept. Whoever doesn't, then we are ready to fight them for the sake of Islam. But we can't accept Islam on behalf of them because we don't know whether they will accept it or not. So look at the way everybody else said, Prophet ﷺ said something. He said, yes, let's do it. And he said this. That's when the Prophet ﷺ smiled and then he said, Li Ashaj Abdul Qais, to this person. Ashaj Abdul Qais. His name was Mundhir, radiallahu anhu, who is called Ashaj. Shajjun in Arabic means wound, cut. It's mentioned that Sayyidina Mundhir had a gash, a cut on his cheek, and the Prophet ﷺ called him Ashaj from there. So he was just known as Ashaj. Prophet ﷺ said, Inna fika khaslatain. O Mundhir, O Ashaj, you have two qualities inside of you that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves them. Al hilmu wal anat. I noticed that you have hilm. You're a very calm, collected, patient, tolerant, far-sighted person. You don't, and anat. Again, anat is you're not hasty, you're calm. So they overlap both of these sifat. So Sayyidina Mundhir, again, he asks very deep questions. He says, Ya Rasulullah, have I just developed these qualities now, or did I always have them? He understood that a person's life can change by sitting with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Maybe I came into this gathering and I became like this. Allah, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you know, I've become the way the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam wants me to be. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "La jabalatka," that you were created like this. This is how you always were. So Sayyidina Mundhir smiled and he said, "Alhamdulillah, hilladhi jabalani ala ma yuhibbu Allah wa yuhibbu Rasul." All praise belongs to Allah who created me in the way that He loves and His Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam loves. Right? So this was Sayyidina Ashad Abdul Qais. وعن عائشة رضي الله تعالى عنها قالت قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إن الله رفيق يحب الرفق في الأمن كله متفق عليه. سيدتنا عائشة صديقة رضي الله تعالى عنها أم المؤمنين فرماتي هي كنبي أكرم صلى الله عليه وسلم نشاد فرمايا كبلا شبا الله سبحانه وتعالى نرم هي الله تعالى نرم مزاج كه. Although this صفت یہ صفت اللہ تعالیٰ کے لئے ہم استعمال نہیں کریں گے کہ اللہ رفیق اللہ تعالیٰ کا ایک نام ہے رفیق مطلب اللہ تعالیٰ کا جو اللہ سبحانہ وتعالیٰ کا جو برتاؤ ہے لوگوں کے ساتھ وہ نرمی کا ہے یحب الرفق فی الامر کلہ اللہ تعالیٰ نرمی کو تمام چیزوں کے اندر پسند فرماتے ہیں سیدتنا ام المؤمنین عائشہ صدیقہ رضی اللہ تعالیٰ عنہ narrates that the Prophet, the Messenger of Allah صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم has stated indeed Allah سبحانہ وتعالیٰ is soft رفیق soft in the Arabic language Rafiq means companion, means friend. But the origins of this word, rifqun, means softness. Soft, soft. You can even talk about a cushion and say, fihi rifqun. It's got softness in it. So even when a person is soft, very, very easygoing, very gentle, very nice. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying that indeed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Rafiq. Allah ta'ala is soft-mannered in His dealings. The ulama say here, you're not going to say one of Allah Ta'ala's 99 names is a Rafiq. It's not there, right? Wallahu alladhi la ilaha illa huwa rahmanur rahim wal malikul quddus till as-sabur. You will not find the name al-Rafiq. Is it the Muhammad al-Rafiq? It's not one of Allah's 99 names. It's not. Similarly, the hadith we covered before, inna Allah jameelun yuhibbul jamal. Allah Ta'ala is jameel, beautiful, and He loves beauty. You're not going to find jameel mentioned in Allah's 99 names. So the ulama say they have a difference of opinion actually, the ulama al-sunnah, as to whether you can call Allah Ta'ala ya rafiq, o rafiq, or ya jameel, o jameel. Majority scholars say, no, you can't call Allah Ta'ala that, because this is not Allah's name. It's just a description of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's behavior with His servants. It's not Allah's actual dhati naam, sifat dhatiya, that is actual name of Allah, it's not. The 99 names of Allah are His names. Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim, Al-Malik, Al-Quddus. So if someone said, Ya Rahman, Ya Rahim, Ya Malik, Ya Quddus, Ya Jabbar, that's fine, because these are actual Allah Ta'ala's sifat dhatiya. His, you know, names which are connected to His essence, but not this, Rafiq. Anyway, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned that indeed Allah Ta'ala is Rafiq. Allah Ta'ala is very soft in His dealings with His creation. يُحِبُّ الرِّفْقَ فِي الْأَمْرِ كُلِّهِ Allah Ta'ala loves to see softness in all affairs, in all matters. That whatever a person does, any interaction, any behavior, any engagement, dealing, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam saying Allah Ta'ala wants you to do it in a way which is soft. What's the opposite of soft? Rifqun in Arabic means soft. The opposite of that is unuf. Unuf means sternness, strictness, harshness. The opposite of softness is harshness. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam saying, Allah Ta'ala loves that whatever you do in a soft manner. Don't do in a harsh manner. I'll do the next hadith because it's connected. Actually, all three of these hadith are connected. وعنها أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال إن الله رفيق يحب الرفقة ويعطي على الرفق ما لا يعطي على العنف وما لا يعطي على ما سواه رواه مسلم. Again, سيدتنا أم المؤمنين رضي الله عنها فرماتي هي کہ رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إرشاد فرمایا کہ بلا شبہ الله تعالى نرم نرمی کا برتاؤ کرتے ہیں لوگوں کے ساتھ اور اللہ تعالیٰ پسند فرماتے ہیں نرمی کو اور اللہ تعالیٰ ایسے اجر نصیب فرماتے ہیں عطا فرماتے ہیں نرمی پر جو سختی پر نہیں عطا فرماتے وَمَا لَا يُعْطِي عَلَى مَا سِوَا اور ایسے اجر فرماتے ہیں عطا فرماتے ہیں نرمی پر جو کسی دوسری چیز پر عطا نہیں فرماتے جو انسان نرمی کا برتاؤ کرتا ہے لوگوں کے ساتھ اللہ تعالیٰ ایسے عظیم و شان اجر اس کو نصیب فرماتے ہیں جو سختی سے اگر انسان یہ کام کر بھی لے تو اللہ تعالیٰ وہ اجر نہیں نصیب فرمائیں گے عطا نہیں فرمائیں گے وعنها أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال إن الرفق لا يكون في شيء إلا زانه ولا ينزع من شيء إلا شانه رواه مسلم اور اسی طرح ام المؤمنین رضی اللہ عنہ فرماتی ہے کہ نبی اکرم صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم نے ارشاد فرمایا کہ بلا شبہ نرمی اگر کسی چیز کے اندر اللہ تعالیٰ نے اس کو رکھ لیا تو اس چیز کو خوبصورت بنا دیتی ہے اور کسی چیز سے نرمی کو چھین لی جائے تو اس چیز کو یہ نقصان دہ بنا دیتا ہے So I'll do all the three hadiths, okay? Those people who don't understand Urdu. Sayyidatina Umm al-Mu'mineen radiyallahu anha narrates that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has stated all three of these hadith are by Sayyidatina Umm al-Mu'mineen Aisha Siddiqa radiyallahu anha. She states that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has stated Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is rafiq. Again, inna Allah rafiqun. Allah is rafiq. Allah ta'ala is very soft in his dealings with his servants. Yuhibbu al-rifq. Allah ta'ala loves softness. وَيُعْطِي عَلَى الرِّفْقِ And Allah ta'ala rewards you or Allah ta'ala gives in those things which are done with softness, that which he does not give if that same action is done with harshness. Another ulama say, what does that mean? He gives. They say either it means he gives a reward. So even if the action becomes complete, right? Even if the action is complete, I don't know, whatever I need to do an action. Now either I can do it in a very soft manner, calm manner, relaxed manner, calculated manner, or I can do it in a very harsh, hasty, fast manner. Now the reward that you will get for doing it in a calm and calculated way, in a soft way, it is going to be much more than when you did the action in a fast, hasty, stern manner. Whatever it is. وَمَا لَا يُعْطِي عَلَى مَا سِوَا Allah Ta'ala will reward you when you do an action in a soft manner more than if you did it in any other way. Now what action can you do in a soft manner? Most of the time it's engagement with people, isn't it? What action is softness? I will say a person is soft when I interact with them. I engage with them, I speak to them. So it's dealings with people. And that's why rifq is from the good akhlaq. Akhlaq are to do with dealings with people. Akhlaq are to do with dealings with people. Children, spouse, parents, family members, friends. When I deal with them, I'm engaging with them. It doesn't matter what it's in regards to. It could be something where it's casual, easy. I'm speaking to my child, it's okay. One is my child has annoyed me. Teacher with a student. Teacher is annoyed with the student. Now the dealing, there can be one of softness or there can be one of harshness. It doesn't take away from the fact that sometimes tarbiyah is necessary. Tarbiyah, where a person rectifies and uses sternness and firmness for the purpose of rectification. Right? This is fine. And the ulama use it, disciplining and saying something. It has to be very calculated. Very calculated. That's why the scholars say, look, if you're a teacher or a parent and you need to discipline your child or you need to discipline your student, don't do it when you're angry. They've done something, they've wound you up, right? They've wound you up. I'm really angry now. Now, if I shout at that child, I'm going to throw the kitchen sink at him, right? So what you do is, don't do it there. Say, go back. I'm going to talk to you later. And it's gone. After a while later, I'm calm now. Now after I calm down, I call him, now I act angry. So I'm not really angry, because when I was really angry, I might start throwing things that, later on, I had no idea I said that. I went crazy. When you act angry, now you're shouting for the purpose of disciplining, but everything is calculated. You're only going to say what you have to say, and then you're going to stop. But if you do it when you're angry, people when they're angry, what they say, some people, they don't even know they're saying these things. And the anger just rises over everything. And the hadith about anger is going to come here. So that's how a person should discipline. But even better than that is a soft approach. overlooking, compassion. The Prophet ﷺ never became angry for anything other than if any laws of Allah were broken. So he never became angry. He was always very calm, very relaxed, very soft, Rasulullah ﷺ. And the next hadith, Umm al-Mu'mineen radiyallahu anha narrates that, one explanation of this hadith is reward. That Allah will give, if you do a matter in a soft manner, more reward than if you were to do in a harsh manner. Another one is, Allah Ta'ala will give, meaning Allah Ta'ala will take it to completion if you do it in a soft manner. And the other hand is, if you do it in a stern manner, severe, strict manner, then what will happen is, that thing will not happen the way you want it to. Right? If you want it to happen properly, do it softly, do it calmly, do it relaxed, be chilled. Right. And the next hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying, when Mu'mineen radiyallahu anhu mentions that inna rifqa la yakunu fi shay'in illa zanahu, that softness is not placed inside of anything except that it adorns it, makes it beautiful. Softness, if it's placed inside of anything, it becomes beautified, and it's not taken away from anything except that it makes it defective, flawed. It makes it flawed. Anything that is done with softness is beautiful. Whether it completes or not, whether the task finishes or not, whether it happens the way you want it to or not, it will still be good. Still be good. If it's taken away from something, you're trying to do it, I need to get it done, I'm going to do it like this, and I'm going to force it through. Even if it happens, it will leave a sour, you know, taste in everybody's mouth. And if it doesn't happen, then everyone's going to say, that's it. It didn't happen because you were too strict. You were too harsh. You were too stern. So the point is, softness is one of the qualities of Iman. Softness, being patient, being calm, being loving, being gentle. I mentioned this, one of the scholars, he's our teacher's teacher, Sheikh Tahir Wadi, he lives in Blackburn. Someone was sitting with him and he said about his father, his name was Sheikh Ismail Wadi, he's also from Blackburn, passed away, rahmatullahi alayhi, very pious man, very, very, very pious man. On a daily basis, he would complete the entire Quran recitation. And he would stand up for tahajjud salah every night, and he would perform his tahajjud salah, and he would remain engaged in dua for 2 to 3 hours. His son said, we used to see him with our own eyes. Whenever he went to Haramain Sharifain, he would always be in the first row. He never ever missed his salah in the first row in Haramain Sharifain, Mecca and Medina, where it's like almost impossible to get to the first row, right? So someone said to his son, because his son, Sheikh Tahir Wadi, I know him, angel of a man, he's very old now, in his 60s. Angel of a man, such a soft, you know, this softness is just glowing in him. So soft. He was teaching hadith for many, many years. Hadith, Sahih al-Bukhari he was teaching. And then when we were studying in madrasa, and our ustad who taught the al-qira'at al-sab'ah, seven different styles of qira'at, Sheikh Tahir Wadi, because he had never done or completed the seven styles of reciting Qur'an, he came to our teacher, and our teacher is about 30 years younger than him. He was very expert in the 10 different modes of recitation of Quran. So he said to him, I need to learn Qira'at from you. He said, how am I going to teach you Qira'at? You're like, you know, you're like my teacher's age and level. He said, no. I don't want you to think of anything like that. I'm going to come when you're teaching. I'm just going to sit in class. I don't want you to give any indication to the students of who I am. And the students, we're talking about 15, 16, 17 year olds. What do you think they get up to? They're all talking and chilling and throwing each other's hats around, doing this and that. And he would come in, an old man, and they would just think he's some old student. He'd come and he'd wear his turban, like this big turban. He'd come and he'd sit down, he'd take out his Quran and he'd start reciting. And they'd just think, oh, he's some uncle. You know, he'd come in and reciting. Well, nobody knew the whole year through that he's a big scholar. And because he had instructed the teacher, please do not give it away, nobody had said anything. And he was just coming, and no one in the madrasa knew he was coming, apart from that class. They just thought he's uncle, because many uncles do come to study. You know, later on in their lives, they want to come and study something. So subhanAllah, he's mentioning about his father, Sheikh Ismail Wadi. So someone said to him, this Sheikh Tahir who I'm talking about, that, you know, how was your father? Was he very strict, very, very stern? He said, no, he was very soft. He said, alhamdulillah, there are 10 of us. I think there's 6 brothers and 4 sisters, if I'm not wrong. He said, all of us are hafiz of Quran. He said, whoa, your father must have been very strict. To make one child a hafiz is very hard. He said, no. Dad was so soft. He was a wali of Allah, saint of Allah, but he was so soft. He would never, you know, be harsh with us. And he would say to us, he would smile and say to us, the weapon that I use against you, my children, is dua. My weapon against you is dua. Whenever I need you guys to do something, I will wake up that night in tahajjud and I will cry in front of Allah Ta'ala and it will happen. So that's how all of our brothers and sisters, and they're not just, you know, ordinary Muslims, they are saints of Allah. You see these people, you think they're like angels, walking angels, mashallah. So softness. Naturally, there's a time and a place for a bit of sternness, especially when children are quite young, the time and a place for sternness. That's why Sayyidina Umar radiallahu, what did he say? He said, لَاعِبْ إِبْنَكَ سَبْعًا وَأَدِّبْهُ سَبْعًا وَصَاحِبْهُ سَبْعًا. And this is very wise, filled with wisdom. In terms of, you know, look, nurturing your children and bringing your children up, he gave some beautiful advice. He said, لَاعِبْ إِبْنَكَ سَبْعًا. Play with your child for 7 years. First 7 years of your child's life, just be, you know, really friendly, play with them, let them. It doesn't mean that you let them do wrong things or haram things or anything, but just play with them, take easy on them. وَأَدِّبْهُ سَبْعًا. The next 7 years, do their tarbiyah. Rectify them, discipline them, do what you have to do, tell them what you have to tell them. And then وَصَاحِبْهُ سَبْعًا. And the next 7 years, the third 7 years, صَاحِبْهُ, be their friend, be their companion. Now leave this harshness and strictness, leave all of that. Now just be their best friend. Now be there for them. Now guide them. So that middle 10 years, when they're just coming out of childhood and they're kind of entering adulthood, in our day and age, you can probably extend that. Because in those days, people would get married at 14. 13, 14, 15, they'd get married. So many scholars were married at, subhanAllah, 12, 13 years old, 14 years old. Right? Because it was normal in those days. People would be that mature. So in our day and age, you can probably say extend it, the threshold from 14 to maybe 18. Right? That time, discipline the child. Or 16, I don't know, whatever you want to, based on the child. But then after that, stop it. Stop it. Some parents are always, the child is growing up, he's now, you know, in his 20s, still the same harshness. Oh, you don't know how to do this, and you're so foolish, and you're so silly, and you don't have brains. And his son is in his 20s. Why are you talking to your son like this now? How is that going to be productive now? The time of tarbiyah has now gone. This is a time where you need to treat them like an adult, have conversations with them, meaningful conversations with them, talk to them, advise them with wisdom, with love, with affection. The time for that harshness and strictness is now gone. It's very important. Are we all ready to do this, inshallah? Allah Ta'ala gives all the correct understanding. We'll stop there, inshallah. SubhanAllah.